The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Welcome to the Tuesday program. We have Tyler Shuck on today's show. Tyler, of course, Hamilton Husky, great at the University of Oregon. Justin Herbert's backup, going to be the guy, going to be the man. Didn't work out. He's transferring, put his name in the transfer portal. He has decided on his next destination. He is going to the Big 12. We will talk with Tyler Shuck on why Texas Tech, what went wrong, if anything, at Oregon. And this is a guy with a double major that is going to have 3 years of eligibility left. Like, he's graduating in a couple weeks. You talk about a gold mine for a college football program. It's, okay, we can bring in someone with 3 years of eligibility. He was in the Pac-12. He sat behind a player who's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And he wants to be in the Secret Service. Why would we not take someone like that and go throw for a boatload of yards? So Tyler Shuck will be with us. Spurge jumps on in early here because I want to get into about the Suns, and a little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about Andy Katz and all that stuff. But Jordan Spurgeon with us. So ASU is playing tonight. Like, they're playing a bunch of games in the next week now, right?
Yeah, all those games that they've missed are now rescheduled. They're not going to get the Huskies and Cougars twice in 6 days. So they're heading up to Washington or playing Washington. So it's going to be interesting. They've been wanting to make up those games for a while. Pac-12 finally came down on a decision on how to make them up. And now it's, I guess, what do they have left in the tank? We've seen a lot of disappointment, but now they have nothing really to play for outside of their pride. So let's see what they can do.
Okay, so you're burying them. You're burying them.
Yeah, I mean,
words in your mouth, but yeah, they could go on a run at the Pac-12 tournament. Yeah. Come on, man. Ye of little faith, right? Or is it just look, Brad, Marcus Bagley and Josh Christopher are shutting it down, getting ready for the NBA Combine. I mean, what do you see? Because you do their games, okay?
Yeah.
I've watched a few of their games, but I haven't had to sit through every bit of misery like you have this year. They have no shot of bouncing back.
So the biggest thing is health. Holland Wood is the only player that's played in every game this year. They're big.
That's
four.
Not good.
They're
that's
big not four. Good. Yeah, their big four has played, I think, a total of 7 games together. So they never meshed. And I don't know what the status is. They don't know what's up with Marcus Bagley. He could be out for a while. Christopher is going through some different sort of things to try to get back on the floor. No one knows if he's going to make it back for these makeup games. And especially with less rest now the rest of the way, it's going to be really difficult to get those guys back in and get them in at the right amount of time and make sure you don't overplay them or underplay them. So there's just a lot they're juggling. And maybe there's part of them that's going to just play with that chip on their shoulder that Bobby Hurley always has, and they're just going to get after it. But they just haven't shown that this year. And so I don't see a reason why this team can just flip a switch like that. Usually it's veteran teams with talent that can do that. They're a young team with some veterans, but they can't just flip a switch like that.
Okay, so the only way they're going to make the tournament is if they win the tournament, Pac-12 tournament. That's it.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to beat USC. I kind of look, I'm not inside there, Jordan. I'm not in there, Spurge, but if I'm just looking at this big picture of where we are in society in this day and age, Marcus Bagley and Josh Christopher are looking at June 30th. I think that's NBA draft night. Am I wrong on that? Yeah, I don't. You're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. But really, for those two players to come back at this point, now Bobby would adamantly, outwardly on the air say, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. You shouldn't talk about kids like that. It's business.
Yeah.
This has been a 1-year deal all the way through. So,
yeah, I don't knock talented players when that happens. It's part of it. You look at it, a business mindset, like, okay, I came here to get reps and get better and maybe progress my draft stock. We haven't won, so that aspect of getting into a deep run in the tournament, you're not going to have that there to help elevate your stock on a national level. So why not just make sure you're healthy and go from there? I don't knock them if that's the case. I know they're never going to come out and say that, but I don't knock them if that is the case at all.
See, I think ASU is probably the most disappointing program in the country this year. And part of that, they can say, is going to be COVID. And they should. Look, anybody who's just going to lay it at the feet, I think the people that want Bobby's head are flat wrong. But nobody can tell me other, and even those on the payroll at ASU or their media partners, none of them can just flat say, oh, well, you know, it was all COVID. No, it's not been all COVID related. This team had chemistry issues and didn't have a big man inside from game one. The loss of Romello White had nothing to do with COVID. So let's not go there and use COVID excuse. They haven't had a good big man, consistently good big man, all season long. Am I wrong in that?
No, that's 100% correct. And that's where Bobby mentioned it yesterday. They've been through something that everyone's gone through, it, but more so than most teams, they've gone through the COVID issues. But like you said, from day one, they had those issues on the court as well. And they've never really been solved. They've been able to sort of sugarcoat them a little bit here and there, you know, win some of the games they're supposed to win, but they never fixed those issues. And maybe it's because they couldn't go have a team breakfast. That would normally be like the Bobby Hurley thing, go to Bobby's house and hang out and just hash things out and go. Maybe that's why they never fixed it, because they couldn't do that. But there should have been a way during practice to get that going. I just feel like they never clicked like that this year.
Okay, and so like spring football starts next week, and the basketball team's been a bitter disappointment. I think I asked you this last week about what are students on campus buzzing about. You know, you're there on campus, you see what's going on, you're talking about the softball team, and that's great, and that's fine. But for this audience, is there any buzz about spring football getting started, or are we just in this complete hangover of, man, the football team didn't do much, and the basketball team's done even less? What is going on? What's the pulse like?
The feeling is everyone understands how much better the recruiting has been nationally. I know you talk about all the time locally it hasn't been there, but I think it's kind of at the point where people don't want to just buy into the hype. They want to see it on the field.
Yes.
I think a lot of people for football still believe, like, this year with Jaden Daniels as a junior and the team having younger players getting another year, they're going to be better. But no one's willing to just go out and say they're going to be the best team. I feel like at least on campus, everyone wants to just wait and see. So it's kind of like there's not as much buzz for spring football, because last year there was a ton of buzz in spring football and it amounted to nothing. So
nothing.
I think we're like, let's wait and see where it goes. So there's those expectations, and I see some of the polls. Everyone's very high on ASU, but on campus, people just want to wait and see how it goes and how it plays out, because people are a little tired of, well, the recruiting's been better and they're building the program, they're building the program. And that's fine. And that's what you needed to do coming from where they're from. But now it's time to actually see the results. Recruiting doesn't mean anything if there's no results. So
you are dead flat right. And I get worn out by people saying, we got the number one this and the number one that. And then what do you know? They're taking a grad transfer wide receiver. Well, last time I checked, supposedly they had all these wide receivers that were going to be the greatest thing ever. And they have all these stars next to their name. And it's been like this since they went to the Rose Bowl in 1997. It's just been like this. And most every year. It's 6 wins and 7 wins, and we get to go to a bowl game in El Paso or Las Vegas. And people take me as, well, you're hating. No, I just have higher expectations than going to a third or fourth tier bowl game. Nobody wants to be in El Paso around Christmas time. Sorry, El Paso tourism, but, you know, that's just a fact. And it's interesting hearing that from you, that even students are wising up to this PR push of everything's great. Well, no, everything's not great. Drives me crazy. On the basketball front, you've been to GCU this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've laid low and I've watched on television many of their games. So Andy Katz, who I like a great deal, put out his latest March Madness bracket. I think Andy's plugged in with the NCAA. He has GCU making it as a 15 seed against Florida State, a 2 seed to open up. Is he right that they're going to win? They lost to Cal Stinkin' Baptist the other night at home. So is he right that the Lopes are ready this year? You've seen them.
Yeah, I think they have that chance. We've seen them competing against New Mexico State. And the reason why I'm not going to hold the CBU loss against them too much is they missed, 20 days with no basketball. That's tough to then come back and win back-to-back.
Come
so I'm not going to use that as
come
an excuse.
Come on, man. Come but on. Excuses.
That,
excuses. Yeah.
Before playing great basketball.
Really?
I do think they get back to it.
It's Cal Baptist. You and I could show up.
I know. I think that's an anomaly, though. Now, if they continue down the stretch to show out like that and not show up, then we get alarmed and say, I don't know if GCU is there. But right now, to have one stinker, I think that they're going to be okay. We'll see what they do in the tournament.
You think they're going to be okay. We'll see what they're going to do in the tournament. Give it to me a little bit stronger than that. You've seen GCU. If they're hitting on all cylinders, are they the best team in the conference? Yes or no?
They're the best team in the conference. They took down the defending champs pretty easily both games. Even when the score was close, it never felt close. They're the best team.
Well, and Eric's going to go up there. Eric Sorensen is going to be at the GC. Because I honestly, and you and I spoke the other day about, you know, Jordan calls me and or texts me and said, hey, can we talk? And it's, you fill in the blanks about ASU. You wanted to know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering if I was going to go to the Pac-12 tournament and film. And there's
what's the reason? Not
much to talk about. Yeah, I can't film there anyways. Zooms.
They don't let you do anything there. Yeah,
there's nothing.
You're in an empty building.
Yeah.
It's just so you can say you're in Vegas. It's the local TV nonsense of go stand out in front of an empty building and say, well, in Arizona State, wow, they're there in Vegas, man. They really know what's going on. No, they don't. They're standing outside. They can't do anything.
Yep. Local so I'm TV. Glad you talked that into me. That was a good point because GCU is 100% the better story. They're the best team in the WAC. ASU is not close to the top team in the Pac-12. So,
and U of A is not eligible this year to go to the tournament. They've already self-disciplined. So for those of you who are like, well, what about U of A? You're hating on. No, they turned themselves in. They know they screwed up.
Yeah.
And NAU's not going. So it's pretty easy here. And if GCU makes it, Jordan, it'll be fun. They'll go play someplace where they might allow in 500 fans a distance, and you'll go find those junior students that'll go get in a car and drive 19 hours without stopping. You will. Someone like you that would say, let's go on a road trip. They're playing in Albany. Well, that's 5 days away. That's all right. Let's go. We'll stop at every truck stop and every in and out and every gassy Del Taco along the way. We'll do our thing. It'll be great. We won't shower. We won't shave and we'll cheer and they'll get crushed and then we'll drive home. So,
yeah,
I think there needs to be more of that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Get out of here. Good stuff.
Thanks, Brad.
Spurge on campus. Spurge with the pulse. Going to come up. I like Spurge on campus. I kind of like that. All right. So the Suns. I'm going to get the Suns on the other side. Then Tyler Shuck. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right. So let's talk about the Suns a little bit. Tyler Shuck in about 10 minutes on why he left Oregon and is going to Texas Tech to be their quarterback, former Hamilton star. I watched the Suns again last night, and every time I see them, I see different things that I like. Last night, it was Jay Crowder getting into Carmelo Anthony. I am not a Carmelo Anthony fan. I never have been a Carmelo Anthony fan. It's not somebody that I hate. It's just somebody I look at and like, I don't like his game. It's not a hater. I just don't like his game. When he was with the Knicks, they'd throw the ball in low to him, and he would pound nails. Pounding nails was drilled into me by some coaches way back in the day. Pounding nails is guy gets it in the low block and he just bounces, just dribble with his left or his right. And all he's doing is pounding nails. He's doing nothing. He's just killing the clock so he can turn around and shoot his fallaway jumper and get his 28 to 35 shots a game, which is ridiculous. So when Crowder got into Carmelo last night, I love that. Any good team, okay, and a team that aspires to be great has to have some grit. Cannot be a bunch of nice guys. Cannot be a bunch of guys that are choir boys. Cannot be. When the Diamondbacks won the World Series, Todd Stottlemyre had the red ass some days. That's somebody you want. He wasn't even on the field every day. Mark Grace had his personality. Jay Bell had his personality. Matt Williams had his personality. Randy Johnson, Curt Schilling, go down the list. But you know what? They won. When the Suns had Charles and Danny Ainge and fans hated Danny Ainge, that's what you want. When it was Steve Nash, Roger Bell was the grit guy. You know, Boris Diaw had his little idiosyncrasies. It's fine. And so now I'm looking at this team saying, all right, it's February. They're playing a bunch of games against teams that they should beat. I thought Portland would give them a better challenge. The game was no contest last night. Suns just ran away and hid. There was a stretch there at the end of the first half where it was a three-pointer by Booker, and then it was a ball out of bounds, and then it was a three-pointer. I believe it was by Bridges. I could be wrong. And it was Cam Johnson. And they go into the locker room, and they're just laughing. They're just laughing. That game was over early in the fourth quarter. I mean, really early. It was garbage time, as the late, great Chick Hearn would say. And so all that to say is they have New Orleans tomorrow night. That's a team they should beat. And then they have Memphis, and that's a team they should beat. And then they have Chicago, and that's a team they should beat. And it leads up to the Lakers next week. Guys, we actually have a Suns-Lakers game next week that, unless this team here in town decides to crap the bed and go to Scottsdale and have some Scottsdale games are when guys are out partying all night and they show up hungover and tired and they get crushed. That is actually part of the NBA vernacular. Learned it a long time ago. Oh, we got a Scottsdale game tonight. What's that mean, coach? Oh, the team got in here the day before and they were out all night. And these guys, well, we're just going to have a Scottsdale game. Love that. So all that to say is Devin Booker deserves to be in the All-Star game this year. And you're saying, well, that's not breaking news. Well, let me fill you in as to why I feel so strongly about this. Devin Booker has had this push by the small, and I mean like fingernail small fans of the Suns, since he's come here of, well, he's not respected. Well, look, he scored 70 in a game that they lost. And, you know, D-Book and Book and all this stuff. And I love hearing him talk about his time the last 5 years because he's not turning the page. He's looking ahead, but he's not forgetting all the nonsense and misery that he went through with this team. Now he's on a winning team. He's playing well. He had 17 in the first quarter last night. It was no contest between him and Damian Lillard, in my opinion. If you're a fan of Dame, you're going to say I'm flat wrong. No, I'm not hating on Dame, just a fact. Watch the game. Watch the tape. Tape don't lie. And he's playing, Devin, at a level, and his team is playing at a level. They have the fourth best record in the NBA. Doesn't matter how many bad teams, and there's a lot of bad teams in the league. He deserves to be at the All-Star game. Chris Paul has been what has been necessary and needed here. Ricky Rubio brought them a little bit up. Not all the way, and he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't Chris Paul. And you see Chris Paul, and there's just, it feels like to me, that when nobody's around, and nobody's watching, that Chris Paul is getting into DeAndre Ayton and his other teammates and saying, I didn't come here just to film State Farm commercials. You know, I didn't come here just to go do some things in the organization from a charitable standpoint. He's doing a lot. It's really cool things. The owner has been, I haven't seen the owner. I haven't heard from the owner. And it's great. It's awesome. I don't need to hear from the owner. So on the surface, from what I can see outwardly, in every pro sports franchise, I think, has a level of dysfunction. Even the best of the best of the best. Even the stuff when Charles was here with the Suns, there was some dysfunctionality behind the scenes. A little bit. When Nash was, there was a little bit of dysfunctionality. You have playpen time where guys want this and guys want that. And why am I not in the cover of the media guide? And I don't get enough attention and I don't get enough love and all this stuff. This team, it just feels like they're going to show up, they're going to ball. They're not going to have one of those games or very few of those games where, you know, what happened last night? They lost by 30 to so-and-so. That hasn't happened much this year. And so where they are right now, Devin Booker deserves to be on the All-Star team. They will find out today. The same goes for Chris Paul. Up next, Tyler Shuck. Tyler Shuck leaving Oregon as the quarterback, and he will be with us on the other side. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We're back with Tyler Shuck next. As promised, Tyler Shuck with us for a couple of minutes. Former Hamilton Husky, now a former Oregon Duck. He put his name in the transfer portal a couple of weeks ago. And you have decided, Mr. Shuck, that you are heading where next on your journey?
I'm going to be a Texas Tech Red Raider, man. Guns up.
Guns up. Texas Tech. So let's unpack this, all right? So, you know, Matt Wells, their coach, he replaces Cliff Kingsbury. He comes there. They are known for quarterbacks. There's no doubt about it.
Wells, Coach Jordan Love, no doubt about what he did at Utah State, sitting there hoping to get a chance one day with Green Bay. I'm throwing some things at you. I'm thinking connecting dots. Maybe I'm not. Connect the dots on what is taking you now from Eugene to Lubbock, Texas.
I mean, it's a great football school. It's a great opportunity for me to go in there and compete. They got a great team. You know, they're really close right now. And from talking with their teammates, talking with the coaches, they really want to win bad, and they're right there. And I know they don't like saying that, but I mean, it's just a great opportunity, and I'm really thankful that they recruited me out through the whole process. I mean, it was a crazy couple of weeks, definitely stressful for sure, but just after sitting on it for a while, just making the best decision for me and my family, and obviously my career going forward. So I'm really excited to get out there to Lubbock. So,
Tyler Shuck, quarterback, Texas Tech, now with us for a few minutes. I like the ring of that. All right, so let's go back on this. You go in the portal. Well, I'll go back even further. You're at the Fiesta Bowl. And I'm watching you play. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. And I'm thinking he's probably 50-50 in the portal. The transfer portal is there for players to go improve their situation if things change. This is not bad-mouthing Oregon. I don't think that's you. So when was it in your mind that, you know what, this just is not the right fit for me or maybe even them at this point? When did it hit you that I need to move on?
I mean, obviously during that game, it was I was doing whatever was best for the team, and obviously whatever it took to win. And obviously after the game, once we got back and back there to Eugene, kind of going through the workout process, and obviously had a meeting with my coaches, and we just kind of decided it was in both of our best interests to go a different way. And I think that I made a decision that was best for me, obviously in my career and situation going forward. And obviously, you know, I obviously appreciate all my coaches and teammates and trainers and strengths out there. I mean, it definitely was hard. I mean, I love that place and I love all the people who's in that building. So, but definitely for my situation and going forward, I was really excited about the opportunity to pursue some other options and, you know, and find a better spot for me. And that's what I'm really thankful for.
Okay. Walk the listener that has no idea what the transfer portal is like. You decide that you're leaving. You put it on your social. Thank you, Oregon. I'm moving on. What was it like within the first few days in terms of people reaching out to you, you reaching out to people at other colleges? Because you enter this land of unknown, right?
Yeah.
And essentially, you're being recruited all over again. So who did you hear from first? What were those conversations like?
Oh, I mean, it was crazy. As soon as I put my name in the transfer portal, and colleges can obviously legally talk to you and recruit you, it was nuts. I mean, I probably had about 100 phone calls within like the first couple of days with different coaches, different people trying to talk to me about my situation, where I want to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it, all over the Pac-12, Big 12, some SEC schools, Big 10 schools. So obviously it was a great opportunity. And it was obviously very stressful at first because you try and answer every call and you want to be respectful to their team and obviously reach out to the people you're close with and say thank you. But it was definitely a great learning process. I mean, I'm not a high school kid anymore, so I kind of know a lot about the recruiting process and how college and coaches work. You can kind of see through a lot of the salesmanship that coaches like to put out at you. So I was just like, hey, man, this is my situation. This is what you guys have. Like, what's going to be best? And I think that's the greatest thing about the transfer portal, because it's a lot of mutual understanding and respect about, you know, what both parties are trying to get done.
Some players, though, Tyler, they put their name in the portal and the phone doesn't ring.
Right, and that's definitely the risk you take. I would look at it as both ways. I thought as a risk staying there and a risk leaving. And for some players, that's obviously a risk leaving, especially if you have minimal tape or if there's a situation where you got injured or you only have 1 year left. So it's different for everybody, and it's obviously they're making that decision because it's best for them. But it is definitely a risk that you take. But obviously, I hope everybody who's in the portal can find a home.
Tyler Shuck with us. So when I looked at your situation, I think I might have even texted you this or just people around you. You're graduating like next month, right?
Yeah. I graduate in 3 weeks with 2 degrees.
So you will have 3 years of eligibility. You're going to be like long tooth, gray hair, no hair like me by the time you're done.
I know.
I'm saying that, you know, I'm saying that facetiously, but you're going to have 3 full years of eligibility still, and you've already played in the Pac-12 and you already have 2 degrees. So you're like a gold mine for a college who's going to say, we got somebody that's going to be here a while.
Right. I mean, yeah, obviously I have those 3 years. I hopefully wouldn't have to use them if that would be the case. But it's a great opportunity for me to get my master's and anything further. So that's why, you know, Texas Tech was a great opportunity for me to get a good degree there. It's a great town, obviously a big college town there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think every aspect of it would just kind of check the boxes for me and my decision.
So go back then. You get these phone calls all over the place. And do you do like a flow chart or like, no, hey, dad, put this one down, or hey, little brother, put this one down, or okay, this one sounds good. This one sounds good. These 20 over here don't sound good. How did you narrow it down? Because if I put Tyler Shuck, which I've done, I put it in Google search. I got Penn State. He'd be great here. I got Cal. He'd be great. I got all these boards of fans saying, come here. He'd be great there. So how did you narrow it down?
I mean, obviously, it came down to what's the situation I feel like I can come in and compete and play. Do they have a good school? Do I fit well with the coaches? Can I trust them? Do they want me to be there, not just kind of calling and seeing if they're kind of vaguely interested? So those are kind of the parameters just right off the bat. You could tell if they were truly interested or not. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot. I mean, there's a lot of great schools that I was recruited by in high school and I would have loved mm-hmm. to go to, but ultimately, I mean, I was keeping my options open for any kind of school or level to come in and play. There's great schools out there. I mean, that's why it's such an advantage for a lot of people to transfer up or down in conferences, because at the end of the day, the NFL is going to watch you. They're going to watch the tape. It doesn't matter how many fans, what kind of schemes you're running. As long as you're NFL talent and you play on the football field well, they're going to find you. So that was definitely in my mind and wherever I can develop the most as a player.
Yeah, and I like to tell players in this day and age when they go in the portal, look at where Josh Allen was. Look at where Carson Wentz was. Look at where Jordan Love was. It's mm-hmm. not all about the brand name schools any longer. It's right. not about whether you're Division II or even Division. They're going to find you wherever you go. So mm-hmm. had you ever been to Lubbock? Did you go there to visit here in the last 2 weeks, or have you not yet been there?
I have not yet been there. I've gotten the Zoom tour. That's all I've kind of gotten done. I mean, obviously, that's what was part of my thing. Is like, I don't really care where I go. I just want to go there and play. You know, it could have been in all across the country. It could have been right here in Arizona. I mean, it didn't matter to me. I mean, my comfortability level is, I mean, it obviously lies on the football field and in the meeting rooms and with my teammates. So the town is just a bonus part. I mean, obviously, it really didn't matter to me as long as I can go there and have fun and grow.
You're a hometown kid. Did you hear from any of the in-state schools, U of A, ASU, NAU, about coming here?
Yeah, U of A. I talked with U of A a lot. You know, obviously, they had a new staff and they're great coaches. They got an interesting situation as well, but obviously, there was a lot of schools in the Pac-12 and, or at least in the close parameter to Arizona that hit me up. But yeah, it was a great opportunity. But at the end of the day, Texas Tech was better. And I obviously, you know, like that situation there and feel like I can grow and get better.
Tyler Shuck with us. If you go out the door from Oregon, you look back, what do you take from that time in Eugene?
Oh, a whole lot. I mean, I learned a lot of life lessons about how to deal with different situations, adversity, different kinds of people. How to navigate college, being a student athlete, how to get better as a football player, how to grow as a starter, as a backup, you know, behind a prominent player, and then kind of transition to that next level as far as, you know, what do I want to do with my life and how do I want to get better. So there's definitely a lot learned. You know, I don't regret anything. You know, I met my girlfriend there. You know, we're obviously still really close and we're gonna do what's best for us and keep things going. So it's like, you know, I'm so thankful for that whole process and I'm just excited for what's next because each year just kind of gets more interesting and more interesting.
And for people who don't know, you have a really interesting pursuit in your degrees. Why don't you walk through that for people who may not be aware?
Yeah. So I have a double major in criminal justice and political science. So I'm interested in the FBI or any kind of federal agency after football ends. My dad is obviously was a cop and then SWAT for a while. And then my mom was a teacher. So I kind of have an interest in that field and whenever football may end, because, you know, the NFL is obviously my goal and aspirations, but that doesn't last too long. And, you know, obviously that's what I want to do after and obviously get in that field and just grow in that aspect as well.
Good for you. Good for you. What was it that made you at the last minute say, this is where I'm going? What was the point for Texas Tech? Was it merely the depth chart, the quarterback room, or were there some other factors?
I think it was just a lot of factors. I mean, that's what it's – it was really a gut decision for me. You know, obviously, the situation to come in, my comfortability level with the coaches, the system they run, they're going to throw the ball a lot. And honestly, it just came down to do I see myself playing there? Am I comfortable in that situation? And can I get better and go to the NFL doing so? So, and then, you know, that's what it came down to. There's a lot of situations like that, but it ultimately was a gut decision, and I felt like it was the best one. So I'm going to continue to roll with it and get better.
It's really interesting seeing your journey. I appreciate the time. We've been doing these journey talks all the way back to North Carolina. So I was joking with you before the Zoom starts. And good luck in Lubbock. We'll have our eyes on you. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate you having me.
There's Tyler Shuck with us, and we're back with more after this timeout.